We will say good day, and we will begin this transmission with the reminder that it is titled Fairy Tales for Grown-Ups. And we remind you that in our last transmission, we spoke about using the idea of a spinning wheel to create the illusion of a spoke freezing in place to indicate what it is that you are focusing on at that moment that you need to look at, whether it be a representation of your passion or a representation of a belief system that might be required for you to look at. But in this transmission, even though it will involve spinning wheels as a symbol again, this will be quite different, because what we are doing here is examining two particular fairy tales in your culture, Sleeping Beauty, Rumpelstiltskin, both of which contain the symbol of a spinning wheel for different reasons, different purposes. But the idea of this particular transmission is to help guide you in your discernment in stories, in fairy tales, and the stories you tell yourself, to be able to tell the difference between what is really a positive belief system and a negative belief system, because many of you may have an idea of what the fairy tales, Sleeping Beauty and Rumpelstiltskin, may represent, and what elements within them may be positive and or negative, but you may be surprised to find that there may be some things that are the opposite of what you may think. So before we dive into the idea of being able to tell the difference between the positive and negative belief systems that these fairy tales represent, let us give you a very brief recap so that each of you can remember, because it may be a while since you've heard them, what these fairy tale stories are actually all about. In Sleeping Beauty, you have the idea of a great feast that was arranged because of the birth of the princess to the king and queen. But there was only so much room at the table for all the guests that they chose to invite, some of which were the fairies of the land. And so, because there was one fairy that they didn't necessarily feel had the best of intentions, the best of energy, they chose to not invite that particular fairy. But that particular fairy heard about the feast nevertheless, and showed up at a point where many of the other fairies had already bestowed their magical gifts upon the princess, except for one. And so, upon her arrival, this fairy, being very offended at not being invited, chose to put a curse upon the princess, and said that on her 16th birthday, she would prick her finger on the needle of a spinning wheel and die. Now, everyone was very distraught, of course, at this, and after that fairy left, the final fairy, who had not yet bestowed her gift upon the princess, could only bestow just enough to change the curse to the point where the princess would not die, but would simply fall asleep until such time as someone would come along and with a kiss awaken her. That is the basic gist of Sleeping Beauty. Rumpelstiltskin, a little bit different, where a poor man had a daughter, and it was time for this man to pay taxes, but not having the money, the poor man promised his daughter to the king instead, promising that she had the magical ability to spin straw into gold. Well, the king could not pass this up, and so he took the daughter to the castle and locked her in a room with straw and a spinning wheel, and said, "If you will spin this straw into gold, you will gain your freedom, and I will marry you." Now, the princess in that sense, or the girl, not yet a princess, was beside herself, because she had no ability whatsoever to spin straw into gold. Nevertheless, at some point, the door creaked open, and a little elemental man named Rumpelstiltskin came into the room without revealing his name and said, "I can help you. I can spin this straw into gold, but what will you give me in return? And so the princess had some jewelry. She handed over. The little man accepted and got about spinning the straw into gold. The next day, when the king arrived, he was astonished to see a room full of gold instead of straw. But now the king got a little bit greedy and said, "All right, well, I'm not going to free you yet. Not going to marry you yet. I'm going to put you in another room with more straw that you will spin into gold." And so again, the girl was distraught. But once again, the little man showed up and said, "I will do this for you again, but what will you give me?" And again, the girl only had at this point left her ring, which she gave to the little man, who then set about spinning the straw into gold. And again the next day, the king was astonished to find even more gold than before. And being a little bit greedy still, said, "All right, well, you have to do this one more time to prove your worth. And so I will now fill the room with straw, which you will spin into gold." And so again, the girl was very distraught. And the man showed up, but the girl said, "I have nothing left to give you." And so the little man thought about it and said, "You do, for when you marry the king, you will bear a child, and it is the child that you will give to me." Being desperate, the girl agreed. And so the little man spun all of the straw in the room into gold, and the next day the king showed up and was absolutely amazed at a room full of gold, and on the spot freed the girl and promised that he would marry, and so they did. And as time went by, the girl had a child that she loved dearly. And one day, once again, the little man showed up and said, "It is time to honor our agreement. You must give me your firstborn child." Now, the girl had grown very, very fond of this child and did not want to do that. The little man insisted, "You must. It is our agreement." And so he said, "I will go away and come back, but at that time, you must say goodbye to your child, for I will take it." Now the girl thought about what to do and thought and thought and thought. And the little man had said before he left, "There is only one way that you can break this agreement, and that would be if you can guess my name." And so the girl thought and thought and thought of all the names she could think of, and had many different servants go throughout the land and collect all the names she could think of. And she looked at the list and thought, none of these seemed to be the kind of name that this little man would have, this elemental being, this elemental spirit. I am at a loss. Until she thought, "I will have one servant go and find him and spy on him, and perhaps he will learn something." And so she sent her servant out into the woods. Eventually, the servant was able to track down the little man, who was dancing in a glade and singing a song in which he revealed his name to be Rumpelstiltskin. And so he went back to the queen and said, "This is his name." And so when the little man showed up again, he said, "Have you guessed my name?" And she said, "Is it this and is it that?" toying with him, for she knew his name. And he said, no, you owe me the child." And finally she said, "Is it Rumpelstiltskin?" And in a fit of rage, the little man disappeared, for she had guessed his name and broken the vow, and was able to keep the child and live happily ever after. Now, in these two stories, there are many different kinds of things that here and there may be positive and negative on their own. But if we examine the concept, first of all, of Sleeping Beauty, while it may seem to be a positive ending, a positive outcome, the prince comes along and kisses her, she awakes, and they live happily ever after, there are many different symbols in here that actually turn this story into something quite different. First and foremost, the idea being that in the original feast, when the child was born, not inviting that particular fairy is symbolic and representative of the invalidation of a negative belief. And because the negative belief was invalidated, then in a sense it amplified and bounced back with the idea of the curse. Now the curse was mitigated by the final fairy into nothing more than a slumber. But this is simply indicative of the fact that you always have an indestructible core, and no matter how many fear-based or negative beliefs that you may invalidate within you or give energy to, you will always have the ability to mitigate them, to soften them out by remembering that they are just beliefs, and they have no real ultimate power until such time as you decide that they do. And so when Sleeping Beauty found the spinning wheel, regardless of the fact that they had tried to destroy all the spinning wheels in the kingdom, she found one hidden away, pricked her finger, and fell into a long slumber. And in fact, in the story, everyone in the kingdom fell asleep for 100 years. Until such time as 100 years later, with no one aging while they slept, a prince came along, kissed her, woke her up, and she lived happily ever after. However, the symbology here is the symbology of victimhood, succumbing to the idea that you have no power to be able to really defeat this other than the flow of creation and synchronicity, which, as we have said, slightly bends in the direction of positive energy rather than negative, because the balance point between positive and negative, the neutral balance point, still offers you the ability to choose. And if there is nothing else that you do, because the universe then, creation then, is slightly more positive than negative, you will simply start to drift toward the positive. And this is what has happened in this story, is that as she slumbered, there was no actions taken, nothing that could be done until such time, 100 years later, that the flow of creation and synchronicity finally attracted the prince, who then allowed her to awake. But you see, the real symbology here is that, in a sense, Sleeping Beauty died and had to be awoken into a different plane of existence, into a different reality, the spirit realm, than to live happily ever after. So in a sense, the tale of Sleeping Beauty, while it may have bits and pieces that are positive and negative within it, overall is a tale of victimhood and the succumbing to the idea of needing to be rescued and not taking any actions in order to be able to rescue yourself, but only relying on nothing more than the flow of creation and synchronicity to pull you out of it, but not having lived that life at all, and having to go on to another plane of existence in order to continue to experience the idea of your happiness. Whereas Rumpelstiltskin, while having, again, what seems to be many negative aspects to it, the girl is sold off by her father, the girl is trapped in the castle, the girl is forced to do things she's not able to do, the girl is forced to give up things in order to transform in a way that will free her by relying on the little man, the elemental being, to spin the straw into gold. Nevertheless, even though she may have in some sense exhibited victimhood throughout the story to a certain degree, at a certain point she took charge. She ordered her servants to go find names. She ordered her servant to find the little man and find out his name. In other words, what this represents is the identification of the fear-based belief. She was able to identify it literally by finding the little man's name. And in finding the name, in identifying the fear-based belief and bringing it into the light of her consciousness, she was able to break free from that and let it go, and truly take the actions that were required to keep her child, to be the queen, to be free, and to truly live happily ever after by her own actions. Therefore, the overall tale of Rumpelstiltskin, no matter how many negative elements it may have contained, is a positive outcome based on her ability to be self-reliant, self-activated, and actually identify and release the fear-based belief that had beset her up to that point. So within these kinds of stories, and within the stories you may tell yourselves about who you are, what you believe to be true about yourselves in life, while sometimes you may think certain things represent a positive idea, they may actually represent a negative one in the sense of feeling like you must be rescued and you can't do it yourself. That is disempowerment. Whereas, no matter how negative things may seem up to a certain point, the acceptance of your own power and the willingness to investigate those fear-based beliefs will always bring you the information you need to divest yourself of them and truly create by your own actions the freedom that you deserve in life. To claim your own true birthright, to be who you truly are. So, let yourself discern more clearly when you tell yourself stories about yourself which is truly positive and which is truly negative, so that you can always have the ability to be active in your self-investigation, to know yourself, become transparent to yourself, and free yourself with the truth of who you really are. We thank you now for allowing us to share this particular perspective with you in Fairy Tales for Grownups, and we ask in return, how may we continue to be of service to you? You may begin with your questions and discussions if you wish.
Good day.
And good day to you.
Thank you so much for the stories. I'm currently fascinated by the idea of mythology and symbolism and the stories we tell ourselves. So
how synchronous of you.
And to that point, one of the things that I realized, even through the stories you've told us now and others, is that being able to have a vocabulary of how to understand these stories is, I think, a part of this process. You know, we often see these stories at face value and not fully understand the underlying meaning or how we can draw meaning out of it in order to use it in a positive way.
Absolutely.
Do you, I mean, it's the person who comes to mind for me is Joseph Campbell and the Journey of a Thousand Heroes, or
yes,
a Thousand Faces.
The Hero's Journey, yes, which is the basic idea of story structure that is automatically built in to your psyche. This is why it's so important to transmit information as often as possible in story structure, because story structure allows you to retain an understanding of the information being transmitted because it's built into your psyche. Story structure is not something that you invented. Story structure is something you discovered within yourself. And when information is presented in story form, according to the proper structure, it strikes all the correct chords, it resonates within you, and it remains with you for thousands of years, which is why there are stories that have been around that long. But when it is missed, when that story structure is missed, when a component is overlooked, everyone knows the story doesn't quite feel right. It doesn't quite resonate. And therefore, that information isn't retained as well as that which hits all the story structure chords. It's a very important structure within your consciousness.
And I think to that point, I'm finding that when I research more, I guess I'd call them ancient stories, whether it's from indigenous tribes like the Ojibwe, the stories often resonate more because there's something about the structure or the wording or whatever it is that connects. Whereas a lot of the more modern day stories don't seem to, that we've lost some of that essence sometimes.
Yes. So this is an important template to use when transmitting information. Story structure is what allows you to retain over long periods of time the information the story seeks to impart to you.
And then the other part of this is that the stories we tell ourselves, I think there needs to be a certain level of awareness that sometimes we're not even aware of the stories we're telling ourselves.
Yes.
And until we've discovered that, we can't change them.
That is correct. That's why we say it's important to investigate what any fear-based belief is actually saying to you. Because when you actually bring it into the light of your consciousness, what the fear-based belief is actually telling you, you will see that it makes no sense. You will see that it is using story structure to get you to resonate to what it's saying, but you will also at the same time recognize when you bring what it's saying into the light of your consciousness that a lot of the information it is transmitting using story structure is actually false.
Okay.
But you have to identify it. This was the point in the story of Rumpelstiltskin. You have to identify what the fear-based belief actually is saying to you, what it actually is, in order for you to realize that what it's telling you, even though it's using story structure to reinforce it, you have to really hear what it's saying so you can realize that what it's telling you is false about you.
Which has just reminded me of something that what I've discovered recently is that sometimes my emotions and my thoughts are getting in the way of me getting to the belief is, because the thoughts are creating a story.
But that's what the belief does. You see, belief comes first and it generates emotions, thoughts, behaviors, and experiences in that order. And so what it's doing, because physical reality isn't real on its own, it actually has to be reinforced by a belief system, positive or negative, to allow you to perceive physical reality as if it's solid, as if it's really a place that you're in, which it's not. It's just a projection of consciousness. So the tools that beliefs use are the generation of emotion, so it feels real, what they're telling you, and thoughts so that you think about it and reinforce the reality and make it sound factual, and behaviors so that when you then behave as you feel and think, you get the reflective experience back that reinforces the idea of what the belief system, whether positive or negative, is actually telling you. That's why you have to be able to see and discern clearly what the belief is telling you in order to change the belief, because all beliefs have to use the emotions, thoughts, and behaviors and experiences to reinforce themselves in order to make it seem as if you're actually in a real reality, which you're not.
Thank you.
Does that help?
It does help a lot. Thank you.
Yes. The belief is the blueprint of your reality experience. The emotions are the builders. The thoughts are the building materials. The behaviors are the way in which the builders assemble the reality. And of course, the experience is the reflection of living in that building that they built. But if there's something off kilter, you always have to trace that back to the blueprint to see what is out of alignment in the blueprint and then change that so that the builders and the building materials and the style of building are all in alignment with the kind of house that you prefer to live in as an experience. Always go back to the blueprint. Always go back to the belief. When you have experiences you don't prefer, behaviors you don't prefer, thoughts you don't prefer, emotions you don't prefer, own them because you're choosing to create them by buying into a certain belief, but you can also know that you can trace them all back to something you must believe is true in order to be having those emotions, those thoughts, and those behaviors and that experience, because they don't exist in a vacuum on their own. There has to be something you believe to be true first before you can feel, think, or behave in any way, shape, or form, or have any kind of a reflective experience. Make sense?
Yes.
Does that help?
It does.
All right. Anything else?
I'd like to talk a little bit about frequencies and resonance. And I think some of the things you've already mentioned might also fit in as we go. So you mentioned in a transmission recently that this idea of the 11th harmonic and how it could break down viruses or cancer cells or bacteria.
Yes.
And initially, I did some research. I found these amazing videos where I saw this happening. But I thought that the idea of an 11th harmonic seemed like a strange relationship. And so I wondered is there something there to do with the golden ratio to the power of 5, or am I missing the mark completely?
No, you are sort of on target. There's a little bit more that needs to be discovered by you to understand all the nuances of it, but you're generally going in the right direction.
Okay. Because from what I'm understanding about this is it's about the relationship between one frequency and another and the resonance of those frequencies.
Yes.
Okay. So then based on that as well, following along this research, it turned out that the COVID virus in general seemed to be about 300,000 hertz was what was the 11th harmonic frequency. And I remember you mentioning that people have a signature frequency between 150,000 and 300,000. Is that correct?
It's a little bit different what we're referring to than what you're discovering in your reality, though there are connections between it. But the kind of frequency resonance signatures that we give to many of you are a kind of thing that your science doesn't know about yet.
Okay. So I'm mixing up two ideas there that I shouldn't be connecting.
Yes.
Okay. Well, then on that note, because I know that you've mentioned as well that the Sasani people are experiencing time, I think, 10 times faster than we are.
Yes.
And I would think then also it means that the frequencies that you're experiencing or resonating at are 10 times higher. And
yes.
I wondered if...
Not exactly in the way, again, we give you those frequencies, but yes. Remember, in general, we are saying that 333,000 cycles per second of the kind of frequency, of the kind of energy we're talking about, is the borderline between physical and non-physical reality. This is a different scale of things that we're talking about here.
Okay, so what I should be exploring or researching is the kind of frequencies. If I want to better understand what I'm looking at, I need to better understand that aspect of it.
Yes, and basically you're simply talking about whatever your equipment is capable of doing in terms of identifying the frequency of a particular thing like a virus. All you really have to do is go 11 times higher.
Okay.
In order to counteract the idea. Because you're pushing it up, in a sense. This principle is the same in both frequency counts, in both scales. You're pushing it up with a harmonic that induces it to raise a frequency to a point where the effects of the virus at the lower frequency can no longer exist.
So even though there's a resonance there, because even the idea of resonance is not positive or negative, it is simply
correct.
About how the two relate to each other.
Correct.
Okay. So the other thing on that note is when you offer someone their current signature frequency, does the higher mind have a separate signature frequency, or is that contained in that idea?
No, it has a separate frequency. We're only talking about a frequency that relates to the idea of physical reality. The higher mind would be operating, as I said, above 333,000 cycles per second. That's where you shift from physical to non-physical reality.
Because that's fifth density.
Yes.
Okay. So then one of the other things that we've spoken about before, or you've mentioned, is the gamma state and the brain waves being between 40 and 100 hertz.
Yes.
And that helps us connect better with our higher cells, our higher mind.
Yes.
And is that because there is a resonance that is created there? Because I think that's where I'm struggling to connect
yes.
the dots per se.
Yes, there is a resonant relationship there. Yes.
Okay. So by being in the Gammon state, that in effect also changes our signature frequency, which then also puts us in a more
yes.
resonant frequency of the higher mind.
Yes, exactly.
Okay. That's fantastic. Thank you so much for helping me.
It is our passion and our pleasure. Thank you.
And then if I may, a couple more things. You've kind of already touched on this, but it also means that lower frequencies aren't necessarily negative. They just might be dissonant to
and also may have their own harmonics that are positive for a variety of different reasons and different effects. Yes.
Okay. And even this idea of integrating as we move forward is about integrating these lower frequencies. It's not about negating them or invalidating them.
No, it's about raising your frequency in a way that is harmonic with the frequencies that you need to maintain a physical reality perspective.
Okay, great. Thank you. So I'd like to touch on awareness and reality, which we've already kind of looked at. You've mentioned this idea that, you know, phones and computers, from what I understand, are essentially portals to parallel realities.
We never said it that way, no. What we said is it's a way of training yourself to be able to touch into the idea of parallel realities by using some of your technology, including the concept of your internet. We never said that the devices themselves were portals to parallel realities.
Thank you. Yes, that was my term, I guess, that I was attaching to it. So then based on that idea, you know, I'm aware of, for instance, right now, there are protests happening in America and around the world. There's the virus that's happening. It's not necessarily happening in my reality. It's happening in these parallel realities, which I'm
capable of observing. Yes.
Okay. And then so to that note, I've seen the fear and the anger, as well as moments of transformation and integration. Yes. That's happening.
Yes. It's all happening now, to give everyone the opportunity to see all the choices and to be able to really choose the vibration they prefer and act accordingly, so that over time you can continue to experience only the reflections of the reality you prefer. But for a while, you will still be able to observe all the different choices that people are making, but that doesn't mean you're being affected by them in any negative way that you don't prefer to be.
So on that note of being affected by them, 3 months ago when this all started happening, I was following a lot of the news, and I became, I guess, ill for about a week. And then again recently with being aware of and following the protests, I became ill for about a week.
All right.
And I'm wondering if I'm matching that energy somehow, or if I'm empathizing in a way that I'm not separating myself.
Correct.
From those experiences.
Correct.
You're testing yourself. You are feeling out the resonances to see what you do and don't prefer.
Okay. And thank you for reminding me that as long as I stay in a positive state, which I did the first time around, and again now, I'm finding that it's also transforming a lot quicker. I don't see it as a negative experience. It's just that I'm experiencing it, and then I get to choose whether it's positive or negative.
For you, yes. That doesn't mean you don't necessarily recognize when someone takes a negative action. It's not a denial of whether a particular act is positive or negative, but it's simply the ability to recognize that even though someone else may act out of negativity in a certain way, that doesn't mean that you can't transform it into a positive result for yourself.
Yeah. I do feel that I'm not necessarily experiencing the fear or the anger, but I'm experiencing it through those people, or I can attach with what they.
You are observing.
Thank you.
And you can, through your own history and experience, relate. But again, that doesn't mean you have to necessarily choose to match that frequency in the reality that you prefer to be in.
Okay.
Does that help?
It does. I have one more thing. Let me pick one and actually stick to it. So I've noticed that in, I don't know, the last 3 or 4 months, I've been meditating quite consistently. And when I do, I get the sensation just in front of my forehead or around my forehead. I'm actually feeling it right now.
Yeah.
I'm likening it to something like my third eye opening up.
Or, yes. Yes.
And so. Well, I guess I'm trying to figure out how to use that experience or use what is happening.
Well, what state of being does it put you in? Does it put you in a state of being using that permission slip that you prefer to be in?
It does.
Then act from that state of being. You know what it feels like. So know that anytime you reflect on or remember what that felt like when you did it, you're in that state of being again, even if it doesn't feel the same. So use it as a guiding mechanism in that way to put yourself in the state of being you prefer to be in, and then take the actions in your life on your passion from that state of being.
Okay. So
you'll be more aligned.
It's my permission slip to switch into that state and then act from that state whenever I choose to. It's just a physical representation.
Yes.
Okay.
And you're doing it through the idea of the third eye, because that helps you see things more clearly.
Bashar, as always, thank you so much. I really appreciate your time and much love.
Again, it is our passion and our pleasure. Thank you for the co-creation of the interaction. Good day. And to you, good day.
Thank you, Bashar, and I appreciate your transmission this morning.
Again, it is our passion and our pleasure. Please speak up.
Thank you. I had some questions about the shift that's going on for humans right now and how it's affecting the world at large, and maybe also how it's affecting you, if it is.
It's not that it's affecting the world at large in the sense that it is actually having an impact upon one particular reality. It is representative of an option of many different realities converging together to give everyone a choice to decide what it is they prefer. So just because you can observe all the different choices being made, you are actually not necessarily affected by them if you remain in the reality you prefer. The idea is that, yes, it is an opportunity to recognize that energy is flowing in different ways, but also at the same time, it is something we are helping to balance by adding our own energy to give you better opportunities and ease of choice in terms of what reality you really prefer, as opposed to those that you really don't. So remember that you never change the world you're on. You change yourself, and you start shifting more and more in the direction of another version of Earth that simultaneously coexists with all other versions, that is simply more reflective of the vibration you have created within your own being. But for a while, you will still be capable of seeing the different choices of the different realities that people are choosing. But it's like looking at these different realities through glass walls, so that while you can see things that are not necessarily vibrationally compatible with what you prefer, it doesn't mean that the effect of those things can in any way, shape, or form reach you. So the overall impact, to use your word, is the impact now of recognizing the freedom to choose more clearly by contrast what it is you prefer instead of what you don't. Does that help?
It does. I kind of wrap my mind around it as understanding that it's a shift from lower vibration to higher vibrations. And it's kind of played out that way in my life. And I see that playing out now in society at large.
For those that are choosing it that way, yes. For others that are choosing other things, they may in fact stay in the vibrational state they've always been in, or they may in fact actually even lower their vibrations based on the choices they make, based on their own belief systems, whether they are positive or negative belief systems. So you may see more and more and more of those choosing positive beliefs that are in the direction you prefer gaining ground bit by bit, but that just means you're starting to navigate yourself through more and more versions of Earth that are more and more positive.
Okay.
Eventually, that's all you will see. And eventually, those that are choosing other versions of Earth will no longer be visible to you. It doesn't mean they won't be experiencing things. It just means you will truly no longer be a part of their reality.
That's definitely already happening in my life. There's a lot of negativity that just is gone now.
Yes. Yeah. So, anything else?
I think that's it.
Oh, all right. Well, we thank you very much for your interaction.
You're welcome.
Good day.
Good day.
And good day to you.
Ha tu, Bashar.
Ha tu.
Ha tu.
Ha-a-tu.
Ha-a-tu.
Yes. Not ha-tu. Ha-a-tu.
Ha-a-tu.
Yes.
So, often while I'm walking in a forest, I pretend that I'm meeting big animals like bear or a giant moose, etc.
All right.
And the idea that I can be a friend or more like playmates with them. And I feel it's important for me to keep my overall energy state of being aligned and balanced for that to work out.
Yes. At the same time, you must respect that they have their own energy, their own alignment, their own understanding of what's going on. So all we're simply saying is, while it's all well and good to continue the practice as you have outlined it, don't be foolhardy. Yes?
Yeah. Totally understand. So I haven't been interacting with those animals, but with the dolphins and many domesticated animals I have. And I feel that this is actually one of the ways that I am preparing for contact with ETs.
Yes.
To monitor my energy while being around them.
Well, yes, absolutely. Especially the idea of the dolphin and whale energy, as we have talked about many times, because they are sentient in similar ways to humans, and they are telepathically connected to other extraterrestrial races, especially those connected to your star system of Sirius. So interacting with dolphins and whales is very good practice to be able to allow yourself to acclimatize or acclimate to extraterrestrial frequencies, because the dolphins and whales are already very used to doing that.
Great. Thank you.
Yes.
is there other types of animals here on Earth that would be a close representation of Jael or hybrid kids energy that I could play out with? Just for fun, of course.
Well, if you're going to be specifically pointing out the vibration of the Yael and the Shalanaya, the children that will live among you, that may be something that no animal on your planet really specifically carries the vibration of, but perhaps, again, some of the dolphin energy will contain that. And here and there, you may find that cats may contain some of that frequency as well. So you can play around with that if you wish.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Yes.
I had a quasi-physical meeting with a being in Germany in 2014. And at that time, I gave it a description of being a forest spirit of some kind.
Yes, well, there are elementals all around you. It's just that not often do you have the vibrational frequency in many humans to perceive them. And of course, they can make themselves visible or invisible as well.
Yeah. But lately, I've been thinking maybe it also could be an extraterrestrial being that I met.
More elemental. More elemental.
Okay.
Rather than extraterrestrial. Now, do remember, elementals may have connections to extra-dimensional and extraterrestrial beings, and you may be picking up on some of the vibration of their connection in meeting an elemental, but what you experienced as we read your energy was more directly simply an elemental spirit.
Uh-huh. Is it typical for humans to choose to give a physical form to first meetups with ETs more Earth-like?
It is not so much that the humans give them that form, it's that very often the ETs will project a form from your own consciousness that you're more comfortable with.
Yeah. But could it also be in other cases when we're not comfortable with the energies that we are giving them some animals we are afraid of form as well to run away from that we wouldn't actually see you as ETs?
Yes, and that's why many people report encounters with beings that they remember as owls or deer or things like that, because again, the extraterrestrials understand that you may be frightened, and so they may project telepathically into your mind and draw from your mind a symbol of something that would be similar in quality, but that you wouldn't be afraid to interact with or remember.
Great, thank you.
Yes.
So a few years ago, you had a Bashar 2.0, and I felt your energy after that being an upgraded version, so to speak, and
yes,
being available for download. Would it be a new shift like this, like in Bashar 3.0?
There will come that point, yes. As you accelerate, we reflect the idea of the acceleration. Now, you're going through a very, very accelerated time at this point, going through what we have called this passage, the eye of the needle, coming out the other side, for many of you, with a higher vibration. And therefore, on the other side of this, you may start experiencing what you might euphemistically refer to as aspects of Bashar 3.0. But right now, you're still going through the passage.
Yep, for sure. Thank you so much. That was a...
You are welcome. It is our pleasure.
Thank you.
G'day, Bashar.
And to you, good day.
How are you going?
Perfect. And you?
Yeah, going really good. Really excited to chat to you.
All right. Please begin however you so desire.
Hey, yeah, I wanted to ask a few questions. Like, one of the questions was kind of to do with about knowingness.
Yes.
And you've said before that, I think you're referring to us too, but you say you know what you need to know when you need to know it.
Yes.
You
are gaining experience with that idea so that you don't necessarily have to use the concept of memory in the way that you've been using it. You will know through synchronicity exactly what you need to know exactly at the moment you need to know it. Not a second before, but not a second later. This will become more common as your species accelerates its vibration.
All right. So I wanted to kind of put that to the test to understand the parameters of how that worked a bit more. And like, so like it might be the case that in, because you've already pointed it out, in given circumstances,
yes,
the relevant information will come through, as you stated. But I was going to say, like, let's say if you're in a circumstance where there was a hard drive and you couldn't recover the password through conventional means, could you use your intuition and your knowingness to understand what the password was?
You could, and all you have to do that is continue down whatever path you are capable of continuing down that represents following the formula, acting on your highest passion to the best you can, with no insistence or assumption as to what the outcome is going to be, and remaining in a positive state, no matter what happens. That is the state of being that will allow, if it's relevant, you to have that information. If you are doing that, following that formula as precisely as you can, and that information doesn't come, that should be your first clue that you don't actually need it in the way you think you do.
Right. So it actually serves you to maybe not have the information in some context as well.
Sometimes. Or again, you're simply giving yourself the opportunity to practice getting it in a different way. But following the formula is the way that will let you know whether or not that information is relevant for you. Because if it is, nothing will stop it when you're in that state.
Right. And what I also wanted to ask too, because you proposed the challenge about the collective consciousness of the Esasani has the information regarding a title of a transmission. And so I wanted to sort of asking with knowingness as well, what if, does there have to be a reference point of where you're actually tuning in to get the information, or can you just have a knowingness in general? Like,
In general, but we have given this idea of this interaction in this way to have a little bit of fun with all of you, to have you play a little bit. So you don't have to focus on it too strongly. Just go with the flow and see what comes up when you think about that idea.
For that particular, right, because I was thinking about, like, if you had like a circuit board, you know, did you need to be like a stone speaker, so to speak, and understand the mineral consciousness to have that talk to you?
We did not offer you an interactive opportunity that would be that difficult.
Oh, yeah, cool, cool. And also, just on another topic, I wanted to sort of talk about how Willa was going and what in Willa's timeline. What kind of technological manifestations does she have upline, like, that they exhibit that you'd be excited to talk about that's different to now?
Well, there are many, many, many. But, of course, remember that we are far beyond that technology as well. She is 700 years ahead of you, but our civilization is 3,000 years ahead of you. Nevertheless, there are many things that are existing in Willa's timeline that are quite wonderful. The idea of what we have referred to before as the Shaddock. Do you know that or remember that?
Can you please re-explain Shaddock?
It sort of looks loosely like the idea of what you might refer to as your Stonehenge. But as you pass between the upright stones, it's a teleport system that takes people anywhere on the planet in the blink of an eye.
Oh, wow. And that takes their physicality there as well?
Yes, literally. A teleport system.
Whoa. And that's possible?
Oh, yes, absolutely. Now, it doesn't operate the way your scientists might think it does. It operates in a very different way. It operates more similarly to the idea we have described about how our spacecraft go from star to star in the blink of an eye. It's a very different principle than what many of your scientists are thinking about at this point. But by Willa's time, they have understood this idea and have incorporated it into a teleportation system around the planet.
And what do they use to facilitate, and what do the Esasani or the Sasanian people use to facilitate? Do you still use electricity, or is there other forms of technology that you use?
There are other forms. There are many other forms. We can use sometimes what is called positronic energy. We can utilize what many people on your planet are beginning to refer to as zero-point energy. Now, there can be electrical side effects to many of these things, but it doesn't necessarily mean that only electricity is involved.
is there anything inherently negative about using electricity? Or
no, not inherently. It just depends upon the frequencies that you choose to create that determine whether it is in harmony or in dissonance to the vibrations of your bioelectric and biomagnetic fields of your bodies. It's all about resonance. It's all about harmonics. It's not about the thing necessarily itself. It's how you use it.
And how has that changed the effects to nature by having teleportation? How has that influenced the planet?
Well, again, it is totally in harmony with it because it's using natural principles. It's not a technology that in any way, shape, or form has any detrimental side effects.
Oh, right. And is that facilitating greater ability to care for nature or greater...
Oh, well, yes. But in Willa's time, remember that they have long since deconstructed and restored the planet to a much more natural state. There is actually, in their understanding of history, after the hybrids land and start living among you, there will literally be, from your point in the future, but from their point in the past, there will literally be a period of time referred to as deconstruction and restoration of the planet.
Yeah, that's really exciting and amazing.
Yes.
Well, maybe sort of slightly related to this, I wanted to ask, how could that look that, so we are as we are now, and then we could possibly moving into the sixth hybrid race.
That will happen eventually, yes. Willa is in the process of that. Her time period is in the process of becoming the sixth hybrid race, much farther along than what you are right now.
All right. And do they utilize, there was a questioner that came on, I think last year, and he, you and him had a discussion about mathematics with geometric shapes.
Yes, we interpret the idea of scientific principles more through the idea of geometric symbols rather than through the idea that you use of mathematical notation.
And it sounded very advantageous. You were talking about a tetrahedron and that you could actually do physics in a greater way. And I was wondering if, do hybrid children, are they taught mathematics with geometric shapes, or are they...
They're taught many different things. And again, because they have to blend into your society, it might be to their advantage for some of them to be excited about learning mathematical notation. Others may be more excited about the geometric form, and others may be more excited about other forms from other cultures as well. So it just depends upon the proclivity of the particular hybrid child as to what they are attracted to by acting on their passion.
And so is that all being, I mean, there could be lots of beings involved in this orchestration. Is that...
Which orchestration are you referring to? The hybridization agenda?
Yeah, or the teaching as well. You've stated that the first ones will be the Yael, is it?
No. The Yael will be the first hybrids that might make open contact with Earth, but the Shalanaya are the hybrid children that will eventually come to live among you physically on the Earth.
Shalanaya. And are they, so is that the genetics of our current human society? Is that, what's that
yes.
mixed with or?
The Greys, which are other mutated humans, and a smattering of other extraterrestrial beings throughout the cosmos.
And so to speak, is that going on right now?
Oh, yes, it's been going on for quite some time. Has shifted now from the idea of the extraction of genetic material into the education of the hybrid children to allow them to practice learning how to live among you. So now it's gone into the acclimation phase.
And so this society that you indicated that Willa was moving towards, is that the same as saying the new Atlantis?
Well, you can call it that if you wish, but it's far beyond that idea. The idea of going into the sixth hybrid race, with Willa and a few others being the seeds of the seventh, is the idea of the hybrid races, all of them, blending into something that we call the Anuhet, which is the seventh hybrid race, which is very different than any of the other six, and will establish the idea of an interstellar alliance that will last for 100,000 years.
And so I wanted to, with the Anuhet, I wanted to ask, like, in creation, is there new existential, realities that are kind of like things that are new to creation itself, or all that is actually aware of the Anu Et? Because you've already stated that there are...
Yes, of course. In that sense, remember, everything exists all at once. What is, to use your word, new, are the perspectives and experiences of the existence of all that is. So the structure never changes. Everything that exists or will exist already exists now. But the experience of it, the perspective of it, that is what changes constantly and expands the idea of creation. So in a sense, yes, the Anu Het already exist, but the experience of what that means, in a sense, is a new creation, just to use loose terms.
Well, so we could be in for a really exciting ride seeing that unfold.
Oh, absolutely. Nothing less than.
And that's what you're involved with too, right?
Yes, or we wouldn't be talking to all of you.
Yeah. And so your realities, like, even though you've stated that it's 10 times faster, is it still concurrent to us? But I guess that doesn't matter to say that, because you've said that all...
It doesn't matter. A vibration of violet light is a higher frequency than a vibration of red light, yet they are concurrent in your rainbow.
Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah. And how does creation facilitate the interaction of... Because
creation doesn't facilitate existence, just is. All of the different combinations of everything it can be are, in a sense, by the nature of what they are, by the nature of the frequency they operate on, self-facilitating. Everything simply goes to the level that the vibrational frequency is representative of. So it's not like creation is directing anything. Existence is just what it is. But every manifestation, every variation, every conceivable arrangement within it is self-facilitating simply by the fact that everything exists on a different resonant frequency level.
I just thought it was really exciting that there could even be the concept that the greys could have interaction with us. Like, I thought that was... So that's you've just already sort of stated how that could be.
Well, yes, they use their technology to tunnel into different parallel realities, including yours, where human DNA was still viable because they had lost the ability to reproduce, being that they used to be another version of Earth and they used to be human. But they mutated themselves because of different things that they chose to do in their technology that destroyed their version of Earth and made them incapable of reproducing.
And so this is a Vesica Pisces third reality where we've interacted with the greys rather than it being one where that hasn't happened.
Yeah. So
out of all the spectrum of...
Yes.
Oh, right. Thank you.
You're welcome.
And in old Atlantis, like, were there genetic modifications? Like,
There were.
Is a mermaid is that being actually created from, are they real creations from?
They were to some degree experiments in genetic manipulation, but the idea in your present day is a representation of an elemental being that doesn't really exist in your dimension exactly, though it can from time to time make itself appear in your reality. But they don't actually live in your ocean in physical reality.
Oh, right. And talking about elemental beings, I wanted to ask, with the 5G technology and non-ionizing radiation, I wanted to ask, because you stated that if it's in phase with itself...
If it's tuned properly, yes.
Tuned properly. I wanted to know what nature consciousness and the elementals thought of there being lots of possible non-ionizing radiation, whether they... Is that considerable to it or negligible to it? Like... Does it care?
It depends on the elemental being and the purpose for which they might interact with that kind of energy. We have to take it on a case-by-case basis.
Case-by-case. I thought that was... I'm going to quickly jump to another question.
All right, but this will be brief because we must move on.
Yeah, thank you so much for your time. So I wondered about moldavite and blue moldavite, if it had been discovered, and how moldavite relates to Orion Maldek, Mars, and Earth.
There is a vibrational relationship because it has been in space and represents a certain reflection of a cycle or a lineage from ancient Orion to Maldek to Mars to Earth. So there is some connection, although it represents other things as well. But this is a longer story than we have time to go into now.
No problems. And thank you so much for this manifestation and chatting with you. It's been a real honor.
It is our passion and our pleasure. We thank you. Good day.
Good day. Highest and best.
Aveo. And to you, good day.
Greetings, Bashar, from the Pandemic Center of New York City.
Oh, all right. How exciting for you.
It was, but it's very intense.
Yes.
And then today I have three topics to discuss with you.
All right, speak up.
Sure. The first topic is my near-death experience.
How exciting. Do tell.
It was super intense. And then
you like that word, don't you? Intense.
It is very intense.
Oh, all right, if you say so.
I would like to express my gratitude for all the spirit guides during this process, like Anubis and Kukumas. How did they know each other?
Well, it depends. Can be part of a soul family, can simply be part of an agreement to assist certain kinds of beings in a certain way. It can be many different reasons that they might interact.
I see. So I feel like this virus actually transformed me. I'm the ground zero of...
Well, in a sense, yes. It's one of the opportunities that it presents to people on your planet to allow themselves to be transformed in a way that might accelerate them toward more of who they wish to be.
So does that mean I'm kind of mutating right now because of the virus?
In a sense, yes, although not necessarily directly because of the virus in terms of a causal way, but in the sense that you're willing to allow yourself to alter your frequency and thus your genetics in response to the reflection brought about by the virus.
So during this process, I constantly seeing the triangles, and particularly, well, I didn't do that on purpose, but...
No, but it's a representation of stability.
I see. And then particularly, I also saw the black triangle with the blue light in the background. I'm just wondering, did I get any help from your civilization?
Well, you're tapping into the collective consciousness, so you're doing that to aid and assist yourself, which is perfectly fine. That's why we gave that symbol to all of you, so that you could tap into our collective consciousness and assist yourselves in the stabilization process when you go through these challenges.
So during this challenge, I was informed by my higher self that I will be part of the artificial intelligence. So it shows me that there's a very long hose, it's like connected to the machine and then attached to my third eye. And then my higher self said, do not be afraid of the machine. I'm wondering how it works.
Well, that's a symbolic representation using symbols that exist in your physical mind to represent what's going on in energy in a higher dimension. It's not a literal machine.
I see.
But it's a way of understanding that you are giving yourself an opportunity to connect more strongly to your higher mind, which is very similar to the idea that people on your planet refer to as higher or artificial intelligence.
So, in other words, I'm not going to get another implant.
No.
I see. That also leads to the next question, is the hybrid children and the ships.
Yes.
So during this process, I saw that my third eye was widely open. And then I saw this little boy wobbling and very happy walking toward me.
Yes.
And the little boy, is that the hybrid kid I'm going to meet in the future?
Possibly. There's a high probability, although it's not absolutely definite yet, because many things have to change first before these things become completely crystallized. But the probability is high, yes.
Can I know the percentage?
Above 80.
Wow. Does he have a name yet?
Toying with one. Not sure yet. Could be something similar to either Saffron or something of a spice that has a kind of strong effect.
Wow. Definitely, I will look forward to it.
All right.
So I have very intense dreams, and then...
There's that word again.
Yes, it's very synchronized.
Do you spend a lot of time camping? Since you like to be in tents so often?
Kind of.
All right.
So I'm...
Please do remember, it's all right for things to be intense. Challenges can be intense. But please, as a reminder, don't automatically assume that intense is negative.
It's very exciting.
All right.
And I have so much fun with riding these rabbits.
All right. So do continue.
This girl, she dressed up like a maverick magician. And then she installed an eye of discernment on my right eye. I'm wondering how that works.
This experience you had where, when, how?
It was in a dream.
Yes.
And then she told me that she's gonna show me something she found from the Grand Central Station. So it was like a ring, and the ring keeps spinning and spinning. Eventually, there's a green laser light out of the ring, and then it forms a green shape of an eye, and then all of a sudden it pops.
All right. These are simply energetic adjustments that the beings you are working with on another level are helping to make in your energy to help align you, to help connect you more strongly. So you're simply remembering in certain symbolic form some of the adjustments to your energy that are being made with the assistance of other beings that you are interacting with on that level.
I see. Another experience was like in the dream realm. I was beamed into a ship, but this ship is actually look quite different. It's actually like a museum, very classic looking. And then I was informed that I should put my hand into the black box to draw an animal for the spiritual companionship. Yes. So the one I picked up is actually the caterpillar from Alice Wonderland. I wonder how that
All right.
Well, again, you are allowing yourself to recognize the symbol of your own transformation, because the caterpillar changes into the butterfly, which is the very strong symbol in your collective consciousness of transformation from a lower vibration to a higher vibration.
And then last month, a few weeks ago, I put a contact crystal by my window and I saw a very big orb. It's very neon and white flying by my window.
Yes.
And I'm wondering who that was.
A spirit guide.
That the tall white?
No, a spirit guide.
Oh.
Not an extraterrestrial. A spirit guide.
I got you. And then I was so excited to, one night, also during the pandemic, I saw more than 30 ships and they're popping out of the cloud. And then...
Well, there's a lot of traffic around you all the time. It's just that as you raise your frequency, your senses become more capable of perceiving what's going on all around you. They become visible.
So they're flying toward east to Long Island. I'm wondering what...
There's a lot of traffic going here and there, to and fro, for a variety of reasons. I can't list them all. Some of them are simply on their own business. Some of them are observing. Some of them are connecting. Some of them are helping. It just depends. But all I'm saying is, if you all really get to the point where you raise your frequency to allow your senses to become more capable of perceiving things on higher frequency levels, you will realize that there are many, many things, many ships, many beings, many different kinds of manifestations passing through your reality overhead all the time, and even through your planet all the time. It just becomes sort of more like you're living right next to an airport.
Yes, and then also I'm so grateful for the moon meditation from Sedona last year.
Yes, well, it is our pleasure to deliver suggestions for permission slips that your imagination can alter in whatever way, shape, or form works best for you.
And then after the meditation, I flew myself, and the moon started turning to a smiley face, and then every time I look at the moon, meditate with it, and there's a different being talking to me.
All right. So you're using that as a reflective permission slip.
So it's a reflection.
Everything is a reflflection.
That's
remember, physical reality isn't real. It's a mirror.
So the third topic is the non-physical energy. And just through synchronicity, I have been come across lots of tetrahedrons. And then our physicists saying that one group of them, they said, if we keep cutting the physical reality to the smallest, it's actually like a triangle crystal.
Is like a tetrahedral form. That's what we've said for a long time. Tetrahedrons are the underlying template of your physical reality.
So how does the Merkaba come into play?
It comes into play as a symbol of as above, so below. The idea of the tetrahedrons intersecting, one pointing up and one pointing down, shows the connection, energetic connection and consciousness connection between physical and non-physical reality, between physical mind and higher mind.
You also mentioned that that would be the most efficient antenna to use the free energy.
Yes, made out of certain materials in a certain configuration and encapsulated within different shells of resonating chambers, it can function as what we might loosely call a space-time antenna or transformational energy matrix, or shall we say a transformer, or what you might call a down resonating capacitor. There are many ways to define this idea, but it is the heart. The Merkaba shape is the heart of that device.
Wow. So you mentioned that fractals is another form of the free energy. I'm wondering.
Well, it's a representation. It's a certain representation of energy relationships, just as phi ratios are what you call the golden mean, golden proportions, fractal expressions. All of these are different expressions of the relationship of resonances within existence to one another that define different levels of reality, including your physical reality.
And how about the time crystal? When you mentioned that you actually flip back and forth, that reminds me of Tesla. He discovered the AC-DC.
In a sense, yes, it's a representation of the connection of forward and backward time, of time and anti-time. It is a representation of parallel realities expressed in crystalline form. But your scientists have to gain much more familiarity with this to understand how this might be connected or representative of these different concepts.
I see. And final question, just through synchronicity, the Amazon.com, the distribution center in California, is on fire.
Yes.
So what's the reflection? I mean, maybe it's telling us that the Amazon jungle is so in trouble.
Then that's what you take from it. Then that's what that reflection is to you, though there are many, many more symbolic reflections, again, depending upon the person that is perceiving it. It can be representative of other things as well. It can be representative of resistance to the transmission of things, transmission of information that causes things to heat up because of its resistance and it's not flowing freely in the way that it really needs to. It can be representative of many different things depending upon the person that's looking.
So what's the action I can take at a personal level? I mean,
you decide. Follow your passion. You decide.
I see.
Follow the formula. That's all you need to do to figure out everything you need to do and take action on in your life. That's all you need to do. That's why we give it to you that way. We boil it down into its simplest possible four-step formula. That's an instruction manual for how to proceed and move through life, for how to navigate your reality in a way that leaves nothing relevant out and brings you every single bit of information that's relevant for you to know and every single experience that's relevant for you to have in your life as it unfolds. So thank you for your interaction and your sharing, and we bid you an exciting and challenging and intense good day.
Good day to you too. Thank you, Bashar. Aveo.
Aveo.